Start the countdown to kickoff of the college football season.
They're number one in the nation. They failed in Miami on conversion. They're going to go for it here. Fourth and goal from the one. Sundberg, the quarterback. Pitch outside. Jeff Smith. He didn't get there. Fumbles the football. Oklahoma takes over. Oklahoma held it.
25 teams in 25 days.
Lehman showing blitz. There's the blitz.
Unsportsmanlike conduct's 25 teams in 25 days.
25 teams in 25 days. Live today from DJ's Dugout downtown. It's Unsportsmanlike Conduct on 1620 The Zone alongside Michael Sevier. I'm Kevin Kugler. Good to have you with us as we make our way towards the college football season, which begins in 2 hours. And 25 minutes, college football will begin.
Down to the minute.
It's you, kid. It's going to be big.
Like Christmas for you.
It's a big, big day. I mean, you got folks out here in their Husker gear, ready for the weekend.
That's all he owns, though. I mean, he didn't have anything else but Husker stuff.
I mean, why would he need anything
else?
That's
true. I guess so.
I mean, that
maybe he could give some of the red stuff he owns to the people who don't wear red to the game.
You think so?
Idiots.
I mean,
never understand that. How difficult is it?
Now, you won't wear red.
I'm not going to be in the stands.
Oh, all right.
You won't be able to see me.
John Bishop won't wear red.
Yes, he will.
All right, that's a good point. Jenny Carlson won't wear red. She's covering the game for the Oklahoman.
I would hope not.
I don't know. Well, do you wear red to the games? Would you cover the Sooners, Jenny?
I don't own any orange or red, so.
There you go. See?
Yeah, you have to, just in case you'd accidentally put one, like an orange top or a red top on Sunday and somebody would see you, right?
I know. You have no idea how small a portion of either color you can wear and get yourself in trouble if you're a journalist in this state. It's pretty shocking, actually.
So if we run into Jenny Carlson, odds are she's wearing a blue shirt or perhaps a green
outfit.
Brown's
solid.
Brown's a good color. I mean, even black, you can go with that.
Yeah.
There's
purple,
a lot of options. But
yeah,
none of,
yeah, blue, yeah. Green. Yeah, yeah. There are options. There are just two that really aren't for me.
No, obviously. What's the impact of Ronnell Lewis's eligibility today for Oklahoma?
I mean, it's a big step. Obviously, that was kind of a huge question mark hanging over them. You know, they'd had a defense that obviously had been through some losses, obviously the tragic loss of Austin Box, but then Travis Lewis, you know, breaking a toe and sort of had some cascading effects that really were hurting them. And, you know, you think about possibly losing another starter. And it's really, you know, you kind of start to wonder. So to get him back was really psychologically big for them. But also on kick coverage, I mean, he's a guy that can go out and find the ball carrier and tackle him hard. So I think that was huge for them on kick coverage to get him back. So, yeah, it was a big step today to find out that Ronnell Lewis is eligible for the year.
You mentioned Travis Lewis. Do they think he'll be back for Texas?
You know, Travis has talked about trying to be back for Florida State. Now, that may be Travis being optimistic or Travis thinking he can handle a whole lot of pain, which he might be able to. I mean, this is an injury that when it happened, Bob Stoops said, hey, I had a very similar break, but in another toe. Travis's break is in his big toe, so it's kind of, you know, it's a more painful situation. But, you know, who knows? Maybe it's to the point that it's healed and able to be, you know, Novocained up enough that he could play. Now, I think that's going to have to be a decision that doctors are going to have to make. I think he's the kind of guy that wants to get back out there sooner rather than later. So Texas feels like a definite, and who knows, we could maybe even see him a little bit earlier than that.
Jenny Carlson joining us from the Oklahoma, and all our guests appear on the Hardee's Hotline. How much, Jenny, is the tumult with the Big 12 Conference overshadowing the start of the college football season for Oklahoma?
You know, maybe a little bit of a shadow, but I don't think it's casting a large enough one to make people feel like there's a lot of gloom and doom. Obviously, there's uncertainty at this point. That's the biggest thing, is you just don't know. Is there going to be a desire to hold on and expand the Big 12 and go out and find a 10th team, maybe an 11th and 12th team, and keep things going? Or have we just reached a point of no return, and is the thing going to collapse, and it's time for everybody to look at other options? You know, obviously, the uncertainty is out there for everybody, you know, whether you're talking about administrators, coaches, players, fans. I mean, everybody's sort of in question mode right now. But I still think that for a lot of fans, the team itself, you know, they see great opportunity in this year, ranked number one in most of the preseason polls, have a chance to really go out and play for some big things this year, and I think that still is the overriding story of this season for this team. And, you know, obviously if things change and morph and you know, are different in a couple weeks than they are right now in terms of the Big 12 and its future, that may change. But I think now that you've got the decision made by A&M and everybody knows, okay, this is what it is, and now it's just a matter of figuring out, you know, what domino falls next. You know, I think people are now willing to just say, all right, football's here. Let's find out what happens on the field and let that other stuff just happen as it will.
How do they handle replacing DeMarco Murray? Will Finch be the main ball carrier? Will they have by committee? Or are there a lot of young guys that's going to get time? How are they going to handle that?
Well, you know, really interesting, they released a latest depth chart on Monday, and Brennan Clay is their top guy, which we expected to see him be a focal point, but he and Finch were kind of the two guys that were mentioned most. But in this most recent depth chart, you had Dominique Whaley, a guy that was a walk-on, who is an in-state kid, who played at a smaller college first before he transferred, a guy that we really hadn't heard too much about, so he's jumping up there. Brandon Williams, who a true freshman who's really sort of was the talk of the spring in a lot of ways, was not on the depth chart, you know, so it's kind of bizarre. We, you know, it's hard to tell if this is actually the true depth chart, or if you've got, you know, coaches trying to make a statement to some of these guys that they need to get going, that there are other guys that can take their spot. I'm not really sure what it all means, but I think you're going to see a lot of different guys get their hands on the ball. I think they've got a lot of talent, even some guys that I haven't yet mentioned, guys like Jonathan Miller, and I just think they've got guys that can do a lot of different things. They've got, you know, they've got big backs, they've got small backs, powerful, quick. I mean, they kind of have a variety of guys that they can throw out there. At the end of the year, I think Brennan Clay will probably be the guy that gets the most carries. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Roy Finch get a bunch. I wouldn't be surprised to see Brandon Williams get a bunch. I just think they're going to have a lot of guys that get their hands on the ball and can do a lot of different things out of the backfield for them.
Jenny Carlson is our guest from the Oklahoman. This team appears to be relatively deep in a lot of key positions. Is there room for some of those highly touted freshmen to get in and play on a regular basis across the board?
You know, it's going to be hard at most positions. It's not out of the question. Definitely, you know, you see it every year, guys that you don't expect or positions you don't expect, and maybe a guy just really, you know, he makes room for himself. So that could happen, but I think that, you know, I think they're probably not going to have a whole lot of true freshmen that see a lot of playing time. Brandon Williams at running back, maybe one of the few exceptions. You know, there are a few other guys here and there, but I don't think it's going to be a heavy freshman year. Last year, you had a lot of freshmen, a lot of guys that, you know, were new to campus that did get out there and play a lot. Seems like to me this may be a, sort of a revert back year. Bob Stoops has never been opposed to playing young guys. When they won the national championship in 2000, had a ton of really young guys out there, first, second, third year type of guys, first and second year especially. So he's never been one to say, you know, I'm not going to play my best players, even if they're young guys. I just think right now most of their best players are guys that have been on campus for a little bit.
Seemed like there were so many question marks in the secondary coming out of the spring. Have they ironed some of those out? Do you know the starting four back there?
You know, I think probably part of the question that was coming out in terms of the secondary in the spring was the fact that Jamel Fleming, a guy that was a mainstay in that secondary, was off the team, had some academic issues that he had to get taken care of, and didn't rejoin the team until the fall. So you had that out there. Is he going to be back? Is he not? How are they going to fill that spot? What does that do to the depth? You know, I think now that he's back, they did get a chance to see some other things out of some guys. I think they did develop some of that depth there and maybe get some guys some looks and reps that they wouldn't have otherwise had Jamel been around. But he is retaking his starting spot. I do think they're feeling like that secondary is a lot more solidified, in large part because of that. You know, they do have a guy back that was really a strong player for him. But obviously you lose Quentin Carter, you lose Jonathan mm-hmm. Nelson. They do have a more inexperienced group this year than they did a year ago, but I think they really like their talent and the ability back there. Now it's just a matter of getting those guys some experience and seeing how they do.
Coach Stoops talked early, like springtime, that he thought this could be the best defense that they'd ever had at Oklahoma. Has he backed off that at all?
You know, I think he still really likes this team. And, you know, being a defensive guy, that tends to start with defense. You know, he's generally been pretty honest over the years with when he doesn't like something about his team. You know, if he doesn't think it's quite as good, he's, you know, isn't going to tout him and say, oh, they're great. A couple years ago, we heard that about the offensive line. You know, he didn't really think they were where they needed to be. And lo and behold, they ended up not being very good. But this year, he's really talked up this team. He really feels like, you know, it's time. He's even said it's time for Oklahoma to win a national championship again. He feels like it is. The fans feel like it is. And, you know, he wouldn't be saying that unless he thought he had a team that could do it. And that really, I do think for him, comes back to defense. He has to feel like he has a defense that can win a championship. And for him to be talking like that, I think it's pretty clear that he feels pretty good about where his defense is.
We kind of joked here that there was no way we thought Bo Pelini would ever let ESPN cameras come in and do that behind-the-scenes thing that OU did. Are you surprised that Bob Stoops let them come in and have that full access?
A little bit. You know, it is obviously such a big platform for your program as far as, you know, recruiting and you know, letting potential players of the future see what your program does. So it's a little bit hard to turn down when you've got the potential audience that that show has. But, you know, I think they did talk about it. I don't think it was sort of a slam dunk, oh, you want to do this? Great. You know, come on in. I think they gave it a lot of thought. But I think there's also a recognition that, you know, ESPN, they want to show a complete look inside a program. But at the same time, if you do something that is embarrassing or, you know, kind of oversteps a line, whatever that line might be, the chances of anybody else in the future allowing you in is probably cut back. So I'm sure that there's at least an understanding that, you know, yes, it's all access, but surely there has to be some parameters that they're not going to overstep in terms of embarrassing players or coaches or the program. I get the sense like that's not what they're trying to do with that program. So I think that was probably part of their discussion, you know, that they saw what ESPN had done in the past and really felt like it was a great chance for them to get their program some big-time exposure.
Jenny Carlson of the Oklahoman. Jenny, always good to have you on the program. Thanks for the time this afternoon.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you down the road.
You bet. Thanks, Jenny. Jenny Carlson of the Oklahoman. Their schedule, September 17, week two of their season, week three of the college football season, at Florida State, followed with Missouri at home the next week. Tough start.
I would be worried as an Oklahoma fan if they wouldn't have lost to Missouri last year.
Right.
Because you think coming off of the Florida State game, a game you prepared for your entire offseason, team's all fired up. They go down there, say they win, and you think of a letdown. Well, no, because he can just say, throw the film in there from when they were number one and said, look what Missouri did you last year.
Right. And then they've got, of course, Ball State, which will be a huge challenge.
Tough.
Texas in Dallas. Then they're at Kansas, home for Texas Tech, at Kansas State. And then November starts, and then the season ends with tough games. You start with A&M on November 5th. You've got Baylor and Iowa State in the middle. And then you go to Oklahoma State for Bedlam on December 3rd. By my count, they've got five tough games. I include Texas because that's such a rivalry game. But
and Texas has had their number. I mean, not last year, but in the years past.
Florida State on the road, tough game. Missouri at home, tough game. Texas, tough game. Texas A&M and Oklahoma State, tough game.
It's a legitimate schedule. You know, there were people that were wondering with the way the Big 12 was becoming, would they have a good enough schedule if they had one loss to be able to overtake some of the other conferences? And this is a good schedule when you have A&M, which is going to be a top 10 team, or at least around there, Oklahoma State. And you know, Florida State's a top 5 team right now, and Missouri's going to be a top 25 team. And I don't know about Texas, but they should be, by that time, in the top 25.
Going to draw some T-shirts during our break here at DJ's Dugout, 10th and Capitol. If you're not down here, you're not winning a T-shirt. Our roundtable T-shirt.
Saying you got to be in it to win it.
You got to be in it to win it.
Got it.
You
got
to be down here, hanging out with us, taking advantage of some great drink specials, some great food specials, some TVs. We are just over 2 hours away from college football's season kickoff, Murray State Louisville, the game that
we've all
been waiting for.
Go Racers.
For months and months and months.
Yes.
That first hour, when they're the only game on, probably the most watched Murray State Louisville game in the history of either program.
It'll get an 83 share?
It might get an 83 share. It'll certainly get 100 share here in the bar.
There's no doubt.
Because we'll be watching it here at DJ's Dugout. Yeah. Charles Davis is in our next hour. It's on Sportsmanlike Conduct on 1620 The Zone.